When she left office as Dane County Executive in 2011, Kathleen Faulk said her next career post, she wanted to have an impact. Well, she is. Kathleen Faulk is back, and she's the Region 5 Director for the Department of Health and Human Services. Kathleen, welcome back to Wisconsin.
It's great to be back on your program, Steve.
Explain your new job, how many states you work with. It's no minor job.
Well, I'm just honored to be the presidential appointee and Secretary Kathleen Sebelius' designee as the representative for Health and Human Services in the Midwest. And so that is six states, including my home state of Wisconsin, but includes Minnesota, Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana. So it's a neat six states.
And I would assume, let me ask, what percentage of your job lately has been the Affordable Care Act?
Pretty much all of it.
110, 120%?
Yeah. You know, we are at this historic time in our nation's history. For the first time, you know, that people, tens of millions of people, can get health care that they have been hungry for. And so, you know, if it was easy, it would have been done before. but so that is what the President and Secretary want me to be doing, is to help people access this affordable health care, and it's really an honor to be doing this work.
Do you get daily updates on how well healthcare.gov is working?
Healthcare.gov is working great, and we all know that wasn't the case last fall.
Right.
But it is working great now, and let me just give you an example or two to demonstrate that. On December 23rd, which was the big deadline for people to sign up to get coverage on January 1st, there were 2 million people on the website that day, and the system operated just great. In fact, there were 83,000 on the website on any one given second. So the website worked really well, and it has been since then. So we're now about 2 months from this final open enrollment period of March 31st. So as our listeners are listening, it is a good time to go online and shop and look and see if you can get a good deal for yourself or your family.
Why did the wheels fall off initially with healthcare.gov?
Well, you know, all of us who have seen big technical and complex computer systems have to be set up know that they are not easy to do something really big and tough. And then when you say there's 50 states that need to be all hooked up on this same technology, it is a very challenging task. And I think what's important is the president immediately, you know, was on top of the problems and said they would be fixed, and indeed he and Secretary Sebelius have fixed them.
Okay, let's go back to the two choices that every state had to make. Number one, would each state set up its own marketplace? Number two, would it expand Medicaid using the federal dollars? Tell me about the regional decisions made in Region 5, please.
Well, one state in our region chose to set up its own exchange, and that's Minnesota, our next-door neighbors to the north. I think Illinois is thinking seriously about it, and any other state can still do so. It is never too late. A state can choose when it wants to create its own marketplace. The second decision, and that was a really important one, is whether the states would take the opportunity that exists in the Affordable Care Act with 100% federal funding to expand its Medicaid program. And as we know in our region, except for Indiana and Wisconsin, all those other four states have chosen to do so. Half the states in the nation have already done so, and many others are thinking about it. And it's important for a lot of reasons. And, you know, not only will you insure a whole lot more people than what Wisconsin Governor Walker and the legislature are choosing to do, but it's a really good bargain for the state. Under the analysis that I think the Wisconsin Fiscal Bureau did, there would be about 83,000 more people getting health care if the state expands Medicaid, and it would cost the state $119 million less in this biennium. So it's the right thing to do for people getting health care, and it's the smartest thing to do money-wise. That's why these other states are choosing to do it, including states that have Republican governors and Republican legislatures. And this is should not be a partisan issue. You know, governor in Ohio and the governor in Michigan are Republican governors with Republican legislatures, and yet they were the first to say and strongly we need to expand Medicaid there, and they are.
It's one of the most hotly debated issues, though. I was reading in the Times, the governor in Ohio, another state covered by your region, used a very not a high-profile state agency to get it done, and there was backlash and criticism. Is the federal agency surprised? What's the number of states that, like Wisconsin, said we're going to rely on the federal marketplace and not our own state?
Many of the states, majority.
Most states?
A majority. And that's, again, okay. But it is never too late if a state chooses to want to do so. I mean, there's that flexibility.
What's the advantage had Wisconsin gone the other way and set up its own marketplace?
Well, I think some of the advantages for the state, given there were substantial federal dollars that flowed to a state to do so, is it could have created its own website, for example. It could do its own marketing to educate people about the Affordable Care Act. It could be making those decisions about who is hired on the ground to be carrying out the good work that of educating people and enrolling people. So there's a lot of discretion and exercise of their discretion that they could be using if they set up their own state marketplace.
Is the Affordable Care Act working better in our neighboring Minnesota because they have their own state marketplace?
Well, they too have had their glitches. Again, it's a big and ambitious task, and so they've had their own set of technical glitches in setting up their own system, as you would expect for anything that's new and big and complicated.
Okay. Governor Walker, as you know, you probably still follow Wisconsin politics. He said this in his State of the State message just this Wednesday. Quote, "This year, for the first time in Wisconsin history, everyone living in poverty will be able to access health care under Medicaid." Mm-hmm. Please respond.
Well, what Governor Walker and the legislature did in the last 6 months, it chose to put a new category of people into Medicaid, mm-hmm. and that's what he must have been referring to in his address.
And that's a good thing, right?
That's a good thing.
Okay.
And then he chose to take a whole bunch of people out of Medicaid. And that's not a good thing. And so in terms of being net ahead, we're not so much. And that's a bad thing, especially when there's the opportunity under the Affordable Care Act to have covered about 83,000 more net people had the governor chose to do that route. And again, it would have saved the state $119 million. And it's not too late, so I want to make sure I keep saying that.
So at any time, states can opt in.
That's right. This governor or the legislature, they can always say, "Hey, let's take advantage of this."
Once a state opts in, do they have to opt in for 1, 2, or 3 years?
I think they can do this on a regular basis and make decisions on a regular basis. I believe so.
Okay. Well, what about the states? I think it is in your region. Did four states? Mm-hmm. Well, five states said no to setting up their own state marketplace, correct? Mm-hmm. But some of them said, we're going to expand Medicaid. How did that play out in other states?
Oh, it made great sense. I mean, that was fine. Again, some of the states, and we work very closely with the states, so there's a real partnership there, even where the states are wanting the federal government to run it. There's still a daily communication and working together, and that's to be expected. So I think, you know, where we've seen the Medicaid expansion, it's a pretty exciting time there because they've got two enrollments going on, people to get into Medicaid and people to go to the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And that's why the numbers that have just come out, you know, are really strong, showing both the effectiveness of the Affordable Care Act and the hunger out there. Just that the recent numbers as of today are that over 3 million people in the nation have gone through the federal or state marketplace and bought insurance from a private company through mm-hmm. the websites. That's just incredible since October 1st. And then another 6.3 million have signed up for Medicaid in states across the nation. So there were already over 9 million just since October 1st who have signed up for health care. And that doesn't include, for example, the 3 million young people under the age of 26 in the country who automatically, because of the Affordable Care Act, can stay on their parents' policies. And in Wisconsin, that's 43,000 young people who didn't have to do anything and have been covered because of the Affordable Care Act.
Those are under 26.
Yeah, I mean, there we got 12 million people right there. What an incredible good news that is, and we've got more work to do.
As I covered the debate in the Capitol in the last budget, as Wisconsin I did, you and I have heard the Republicans say, we're sorry, we just don't trust the federal government to be good on paying 100% mm-hmm. of the expansion. The federal government, well, more than ever, you're witnessing the budget gridlock in Washington. And given that, there's going to be a day of reckoning, and the federal government will have to dial back that 100%.
Well, you know, that argument would be convincing if it was consistently used. You know how much the state of Wisconsin takes from the federal government in education money, in transportation money, in environmental protection money. Should I keep going?
We also rank pretty low in federal, what we get back.
Yeah, because we don't have military operations here, you know, like other states do. So it seems to me the state would be wanting to get as much of our federal dollars back as we possibly can.
What's that funding formula? The Fed will pay 100%, or is it 98%, and then it scales back?
It's 100% until 2016, and then it's 95%, and then 90%, and that's what it's been, and historically is 90%. So I think there can be a lot of confidence in that.
If you were testifying before the Wisconsin Joint Finance Committee, what would you say about the options that are still out there?
I'd say it's not too late. You know, it's not only sad to not provide health insurance for 83,000 people who need it, but it just makes no sense, given it will actually be cost the state less to do the right thing. So that's what I would say, and it's not too late.
And when you hear senators like Ron Johnson say, I was elected to abolish the Affordable Care Act, that's still my number one priority, your response?
Well, he's a minority in the Congress, and we know that Congress passed this law 3 years ago, and the President signed it, and the Supreme Court upheld it, and it is the law of the land. And when you see the difference that it's making, I mean, just think here in Wisconsin, for all of us here, what the Affordable Care Act has done outside of buying insurance on the marketplace. You know, it is in the old days before the Affordable Care Act, an insurance company could cherry pick who it wants to sell insurance to. So if you have cancer or asthma or diabetes, it can say, we're not going to insure you. Or we're going to insure you at a rate that's so expensive that you have to choose your health care or food. Or charging us women more historically for insurance than men. Or annual limits that existed. You know, no longer
coverage limits.
Yeah. Or you lose your job and you lost your insurance. Families were desperate. So now, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, here in Wisconsin, about 2.5 million people of us, including 300,000 children, have pre-existing conditions. 2.5 million Wisconsinites no longer have to worry about whether they can buy affordable health care or will get kicked off of the health care if one of them gets sick. What a change in people's lives that is, that the Affordable Care Act has already done. One of the most recent developments is in mental health, because under the Affordable Care Act, health plans must provide about 10 essential benefits, everything from doctor's visits and hospital stays, but also preventive care, and including substance abuse and mental health. And that is, you know, that's we predict or expect about 1 million people in Wisconsin will have benefited just from that one provision alone. So the impact that the Affordable Care Act is already making in the health care of Wisconsinites is just profound.
Given the demographics of Wisconsin, who is the, can you give us a demographic profile of who's most being helped by the ACA in Wisconsin? More women than men, age, excuse me.
Yeah, it's a wonderful question. And again, I'll give you two answers. One, kind of the big picture, which I think your question is primarily addressed to, and that is every age, every demographic. The lack of health insurance has known no particular category. Again, because of these reasons I gave, no matter if you're white, brown, or black, or old or young, or male or female, you had a hard time, if at all, getting health insurance if you had a pre-existing condition. Cancer, diabetes, you know, the examples I gave. That is universal. Or women having a hard time getting health insurance. So there is this wide spectrum. It may be your next door neighbor and you had no idea, who lived in fear that one sickness, you know, would bankrupt the family, as so many families lived in that fear. So that's the big answer to your question. There then is within that, though, what is kind of a singularly large category, and that may surprise some of our listeners. It surprised me, even though I'm a mom, and that is young people under the age of 35, 19 to 35. Mm-hmm. We like to call them the young invincibles.
Yes, the invincibles.
Right? But that is a category of people who are traditionally single, more male than women, employed, working hard, never thought they could afford health insurance. And we know that about half of them will be able to buy it for $50 or less a month. So it is now a new day for them, or didn't think they needed it. So, you know, my plea as I'm going around the region is to all of us parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles is, yes. You know, talk to just one young person you know about how important it is for them to have insurance, not just for the catastrophe like they break their leg or in a car accident, which happens. But just so they're healthier each day. I think about my son and his choice when he's got a sinus infection of not going to a doctor because it costs too much. Just think of their day-to-day health. So if you make one difference in one young person's lives, you've made a difference.
Has the Walker administration, they decided to not expand Medicaid, they decided to not set up a state marketplace. Have they been a willing partner with your agency mm-hmm. in terms of, because I hear stories of like Texas and mm-hmm. dragging its feet and some members of the GOP still opposed to it, but has the Walker administration been a willing partner?
Well, I have worked with Secretary Rhodes, the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, have met with her. And so, you know, while inevitable challenges arise, I think we have a working relationship to solve problems, and that's why I remain hopeful that the governor and the legislature will not only take the opportunity to expand Medicaid here, but as now that the website is fully functioning, that they will continue to make sure that this 500,000 people in Wisconsin can have access to health care.
The governor and the Assembly and Senate recently, as you know, just put a 3-month extension from January 1 to April mm-hmm. 1. Was that needed? Because they blamed your agency for that.
Yeah, you know, I think it just makes sense when, Kevin, remember what we were talking about before, which is he had made two decisions that the legislature had agreed with mm-hmm. that he needed to change. One was he was moving people off of Medicaid, and the other was he was putting a different category on. And so he postponed both those. Again, the better thing to do would be to expand Medicaid with these federal dollars so you can get more people covered. It's a system that's been operating for many decades, and so it would have been easier administratively, cost the state less, and insured more people.
Let's look at the enrollment numbers as of, I think it was January 16th. Wisconsin, 40,752 enrollees. Is that a good start or a bad start? What's the agency's ultimate goal for the state of Wisconsin?
I think it's a good start. Well, our goal is to help 500,000 people because it's almost that in Wisconsin.
Half a million.
That's always
Excuse
the goal.
Excuse me for interrupting.
Right?
Okay.
That's the goal of the law. And so what will happen by March 31st, we'll see. This is the first open enrollment period in this historic time. And then there will be another open enrollment period at the end of this year, as there will be then every year thereafter. So, you know, it's exciting, and people are, you know, not only working hard to make sure that the system is operating as well as can be, and those improvements continue each day, but it's a learning curve for everybody, the insurance companies, young people who never thought they had to have insurance before, and all the rest of us in between. So you would expect us to learn a whole lot, just like they did in Massachusetts. You know, we know that was the one state in the nation that had gone out on its own years ago to provide health insurance for its citizens. I think Governor Romney was the governor at that time, and we learned from that experience that it was pretty slow going in the beginning, and then it was wildly popular. And I sure know that these 12 million people who are already benefiting from the Affordable Care Act have a lot to say about it, and people continue to enroll each day.
Of the 40,752 in Wisconsin who enrolled, 19% are these invincibles between mm-hmm. 19 and 34. The U.S. average in that data was 24%, and I just heard the goal is 40%, mm-hmm. correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we're lagging behind the U.S. average by 5 percentage points as of January 16th. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about that?
Yeah, that's why my pitch. Because
if you were in a room to young invincibles, mm-hmm. what would you... What's your sales pitch?
Well, first of all, I would try to have somebody half my age, because we know, all of us, we listen to our peers. We are more likely to listen to our peers than to anybody else, mm-hmm. no matter what age we are. And so messenger is important, and having fuddy-duddy old me probably isn't going to be the right messenger. And we know that young people, disproportionate to us older people, use social media. And we know that they are very tech-savvy. So
you wouldn't be in a room with them. You'd find other ways to reach them.
You got it. And, you know, when, again, let me think of my 32-year-old son, who is tech-savvy, and I hope he listens to his mom once in a while, but you know, I'm not fooling myself. So we need those messengers, and that's why I think you see people like Magic Johnson and, you know, others, celebrities, so to speak, who are better messengers than somebody like me, but for whom ultimately it's peer-to-peer information. And we know that they go online at 2 in the morning. You know, we have throughout the nation literally thousands of staff who are trained to help somebody go on the website and shop and sign up. Well, young people, they do it on their own at 2 in the morning. And so we saw that, I think, at the end of December, where they just, that's how they operate.
Are they really getting the message?
They're really good at it. Now we need to get the message out.
When I interviewed Helen Marks Dix of AARP, she told me that they're urging grandparents to write their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. That just struck me. So are you?
I think she's onto something. I mean, my grandparents, big role models for me. But it takes messages coming from everybody, right? Aunts and uncles. I mean, it's the right thing to do.
Well, are you concerned that as of the numbers a week ago, only 19% of those that have enrolled in Wisconsin are the Invincibles?
Yeah, we're working on it. And again, I think because they are more likely to react to deadlines and do things later, that we still have a great opportunity. We still have 2 months to reach them trying.
At the other end of that age continuum are the 55 to 64s. Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin numbers, again, 40,752 enrolled of them, 45% between 55 and 64. National average, 33%. We're 12 percentage points ahead. You're a native of Wisconsin, born in Waukesha. Explain
born
that
Milwaukee.
To
born
in Milwaukee.
Raised
I'm
Waukesha.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. Are you concerned that we're 12 percentage points ahead, but in the most costliest customers?
No, I think we're really, you know, us Wisconsinites, we read the paper, we listen to the news, we study, we do our homework. So it's not surprising to me that people more in my age range are kind of on top of the information and are signing up. But it's that younger category that we've got to do better at.
What about premiums? I saw in a New York Times story, they quoted, if you are trying to sign up for affordable health care in Burnett County, you only had like one provider and were paying a lot more. Mm-hmm. But what generally in the state of Wisconsin in terms of premiums?
Generally in the state of Wisconsin, we have about 100 plans, I think, available. So generally in Wisconsin, there is a large menu. And remember, this is a private market system. That's what Congress set up. It relies on the private market system wanting our business. You know, government didn't create an insurance company.
Right.
And so it's where the providers said, hey, we want to serve that market. And so some places in the state have more insurance companies that said, hey, we want to serve you than others.
Does the Affordable Care Act need to be tweaked? Because the Republicans are unwilling to take up any fixes. Are there some fixes out there? If so, what are they?
Well, I think you just summed it up. I just think what we've seen over the last year means that isn't going to happen because Congress has not been willing. Some in Congress were willing to shut down government rather than find solutions. Mm-hmm. And so given that, and given it's the law of the land, we're implementing it as you would the law of the land, and I think that's what will continue.
There's one phrase President Obama would like to have back. If you like your doctor, you'll be able to keep your doctor. What should he have said instead of that phrase?
Well, his intention, I think, was really sound, because this system is built on the private market system where you can continue to work with your insurance company that you like to buy insurance. The law never made insurance companies have to want to serve you. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. And so he has, you know, promptly fixed that problem to allow insurance companies to continue to provide policies that don't meet this 10 essential benefits for a period of time.
The Republicans and the Rush Limbaughs say, with all the waivers that have had to be issued, it's profoundly changed the ACA. Has its central tenets and foundations been rewritten by the waivers?
Yeah, no, just not at all. You know, the mission, which is to try to help tens of millions of people get affordable health care, something that has never happened in our nation's history. If it was easy, let me repeat it, it would have been done before. So that very challenging and worthy and inspiring goal, we don't lose sight of. And that's what we're working on each day to reach more people. And as we've seen, the numbers I just gave you, 3 million alone on the marketplace since October 1st is really encouraging. So that kind of success is, I guess, is the whatever that right word is, to see how many people this law is making a difference for is really inspiring. And I have the honor of working for Secretary Sebelius, and she has to worry about the tens of millions. But I've also seen her in forums where I can just think of this one couple very vividly who were just frantic because they have many medical needs. And in their eagerness to make sure they had insurance starting January 1st. And the care and the patience and the attentiveness that she gave to them over a couple week period, just herself, I think it shows you the kind of the personal and then smartness about how hard it is and how important it is. It's one person at a time to get to tens of millions.
One of the arguments of the opponents is this is a step on the path to single payer. Is it?
Well, that's for Congress and the presidents to decide. That's not a policy. That's a pay grade higher than me.
I understand.
But it isn't what the law is. And the law was passed by Congress, as we know, built on a private sector doing the insurance. And that's why all these insurance companies, and like I said, we have a good ones in Wisconsin. We are so fortunate to have good companies in Wisconsin who have stepped up and said, we want your business. All you 500,000 uninsured, we want your business. And that's a good thing.
We're almost out of time, so just a couple more questions. So Wisconsin's early experience with the Affordable Care Act, good start, but a long way to go, or how would you summarize it?
Good start, we got a ways to go. And we've still got a couple months in this open enrollment period, and then there'll be another one, so we're on our way.
And so you're confident that the Wisconsin numbers will be there?
Well, we're working real hard to get them there, and the programs like this help us educate people so they can decide whether to shop and purchase.
And then my last question goes back to one of your personal issues. Are you finding any time with your new job to work on one of your personal issues, the abuse of alcohol?
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's Affordable Care Act, but I know that Secretary Sebelius and her team has said that when we get this going, then there's many other issues we know, Falk, you want to work on, and I am looking forward to that opportunity.
And that's still on the top of the list?
Yes, sir.
Kathleen Falk, Region 5 Director, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Thanks for the update. Welcome back to Wisconsin. I understand your offices are in Chicago now. Do you have your home?
I do have an apartment in Chicago, so it's good to be back on your show. Hope to do so again.
Thank you so much. Thanks.